It's the Joe Show Season 9 Finale. Joining us tonight is entertainer, singer, author, philanthropist, game show host Donny Osmond. Entertainer and singer Tony Orlando. And Canadian comedian Pete Johansson. Don't go anywhere. This is the Season 9 finale of The Joe Show. Welcome, everyone, to our last Joe Show of Season 9. Today's date is Wednesday, June the 22nd. And you know what that means.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Congratulations to all of our winners who have won themselves a triple slide pass to the Urban Slide. All the winners are listed up on our website, joecrawfordlive.com/contest. We have a huge show, so we're not going to waste any time. We have Donny Osmond, Tony Orlando, and Pete Johansson, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Joe Show, and joining us right now, you've heard his great hits that have made millions over around the world with Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree and Knock Three Times, and he's coming here to Niagara Falls, and we're so excited to have him with us on July 7th and 8th at the Fallsview Casino. It's the one and only Mr. Tony Orlando. Hello, sir. How are you?
How are you, Joe? It's a pleasure to talk to you. It's great coming back to The Falls has been many times that I've been there, and they've been so supportive, and the area has been so great to me. I can't wait to get back.
Oh, awesome. Well, we are definitely looking forward to having you here, and I know you're going to be singing, of course, the big hits of, like, Tie a Yellow Ribbon and also Knock Three Times, but for someone who hasn't come seen you in Niagara Falls, what other are the hits that you're going to be singing and doing?
Well, there's Gypsy Rose, just saying that he don't love you like I love you, and you know, and Candida, all five of them went to number one for us. So those of us know that we do those songs. We wouldn't absolutely not have them excluded from the show. But the show, you know, I have a rhythm section that's been with me for 19 years, and one of the great parts of doing this show, and I have been in all the casinos in Vegas. We just closed in Vegas, or in Asia. We just finished a tour of Asia, working in Taipei and Malaysia and Singapore and New Zealand. The thing that we love to do is I'm old school in the fact that I don't do a set list other than the hits I just mentioned to you. I judge the show based on the audience. There are days that I may go out and this audience may just want to rock and roll. They may want to do some, I mean, I think from our interpretation of Led Zeppelin to Satisfaction to a rap song that we do now. I just finished a rap thing with a great group, Mobb Deep, who they're known for being one of the originators. And I just did Knock Three Times rap. You can get it online somewhere, and on iTunes, I think it is. And the guy's name is Computer, who's the lead singer of Mobb Deep. So we go across the board, and thank God after working on the road. This is my 55th year in show business, and I'm still 2 years younger than Paul McCartney, so I still got some time to go.
and first of all, congratulations. I mean, being in the business for 55 years, I know you've had some ups and downs over those years, and of course, back...
Well, let me ask you a question, Joe. Yeah. Do you have some ups and downs done in your life, too? I'm sure you did. We
absolutely.
All do.
Absolutely. And it's just how you travel through it and prevail, though. That's how you get through it, though.
Yeah, same as you.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that in 55 years, you must have seen a lot of different business in the music industry and how it's grown, especially nowadays with technology, how it's grown. And what else have you seen over the 55 years of being in the business?
Well, I think the artistry today is much better than it's ever been. I think the young performers today... you take a Demi Lovato or Nick Jonas, and you take even Justin. Justin's a very talented. He's got problems, you know, and it seems to be dealing with his life. He's doing a pretty good job for as young as he is, and as much of an onslaught as he's had. But musically, I mean, there's some of the great young people. Ed Sheeran, these kids are phenomenal, and singing better than ever. And as you put it, the technology and the way we make records today with Pro Tools. You know, when I made records in the early days, when I first started, I was 16 years old, 1961 with Carole King. We made our records in four tracks. Yeah. Four tracks. And we'd have an orchestra of 30 people out there. You know, so the old Motown records that you hear and the old Carole King stuff that you hear, the stuff that I did in the early 60s, they were all done on four tracks. And today you can have the tracks are unlimited, so you can just keep on putting on and making the sound even better. And the digital sound today is really amazing, and how they mix down and how they make records is unbelievable. It's on another level. So between the artists being great, you know, artists today have to be... understand how to dance. They have to know how to use the camera. They have to know how to react on video. They have to have the acting sense in them. They're so eclectic today that this is the greatest young musical generation of all time.
And speaking about when you first started, we're speaking with Tony Orlando coming to the Falls View Casino on July 7th and 8th. And you can check out Tony's website, of course, where else he'll be on TonyOrlando.com. But at 16, you were with the Five Gents, a doo-wop group, and kind of were spotted and founded by Don Kirshner, who paid you like $1
a
week.
Actually, I was with the doo-wop group before I signed with Donnie. That was just my street corner days. When I signed with Donnie, I was already a solo artist, and I thank God for him. He put me together with Carol. She was 18, I was 16, and Carol King and I made our first records together. My first hit was called Halfway to Paradise. which started, by the way, in Canada. It's interesting, but
how?
Quality
how
Records. I don't know if you remember Quality Records,
no.
If you're old enough to remember. But our records of Halfway to Paradise came out on Quality. And my first trips as an artist were in Canada, because my career as a 16-year-old kid started in Windsor, Canada, right outside of Detroit. CKLW. Rosalie Trombley was the name of the program director.
Wow, that's awesome. And Windsor's only about 4 hours, 5 hours from Niagara Falls, so you have a lot of history here in Canada, too, then.
Yep, it's been a great run. I mean, Canada's been great for me. And between the States and Canada, I've had an amazing journey, to be honest with you.
Speaking with Tony Orlando, and I'm looking forward to seeing you here when you're in Niagara Falls at the Avalon Ballroom on July the 7th. You're here for both days, July 7th and the 8th. And I know these are your two infamous songs, and is also, I think, was a theme song when you had your variety show back in the 70s on CBS there. But Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree was kind of meant for a different meaning, and now it's actually used for when veterans are coming home from overseas in the Middle East.
Well, it started as that in 1973. The first time I sang Yellow Ribbon was to welcome home our POWs, so it's been 40-plus years that that song has represented our military. That's where it began. Bob Hope at the Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. We welcomed home our POWs in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. And then, of course, at the end of the Iranian hostage crisis in the States, it was a major part of their homecoming in 1980, and then again in Desert Storm. So although the song was meant to be a love song, and it was talking about a girl who was waiting for her boyfriend, her husband, who was in prison, and he's coming home, and he's not sure if he's even wanted anymore. And he says, you know, if you still love me, put a yellow ribbon on the tree. And he's on the bus. He takes a look at the tree, and everybody cheers because there wasn't one yellow ribbon. There was 100. So it's a song that was written about forgiveness and love between a man and a woman that ended up being a symbol of homecoming and love between a country and its people who go and defend that country and on their homecoming. So it's been a great journey for that. The two guys that wrote it, Irwin Levine and Larry Brown, they're the ones that deserve the credit for writing such a wonderful song. I was merely the mailman that delivered the letter.
And do you yourself get new music given to you, written? I know that song was written for you, and say, oh, Tony, can you sing this and record this? Or are you kind of just done and just doing the shows that you do in Vegas and touring around and that?
I missed the question one more time.
Yeah, I was just saying, do you still get songwriters coming to you to want to sing their songs and say, Tony, please sing this? Or do
not
you focus
really,
on singing?
Not really, because songwriters today would want their songs written by the relevant artists that are having hits today. So they wouldn't be coming to me for that. No, I do get a lot of songwriters who write patriotic songs that want me to record them, yes. But on the average, no. And I think I would speak for most artists that have had their hits in past decades. For instance, the 80s artists or the Cyndi Laupers or the Lionel Richies, but although they write their own songs, and I've been a writer also, but truthfully, those of us who depended on people to write, like Diana Ross, I don't think Diana's getting the songs that she got in the days when she was hot with the Supremes. It's just a natural event of things as each decade finds their new people and new artists. But songwriters, by and large, go to whoever is hot.
I know you've worked with a lot of different artists from when you done touring and you had your theater open there in Branson, Missouri, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Music Theater there and doing Broadway. And then you also, of your TV show that you had, the variety show on CBS, and worked with a wide variety of different acts too. Was there someone that you really wanted to work with that you weren't able to get to work with and you're kind of like, oh, I wish I was able to do that?
No, I had the good fortune of being able to work with everyone from Elvis to Sinatra to Jerry Lewis. 33 years I hosted a telethon for him in New York for Jerry. to Dean Martin, the Rat Pack. I worked with all of those guys. I worked with Jackie Wilson. I worked with all of my Sam Cooke, with all of my rhythm and blues artists, Ray Charles. I have had such a lush, wonderful experience as a performer. There really is no one that I could ever think of that I didn't get a chance to perform with. I mean that too. I've been very fortunate.
And I gotta say also too, being very fortunate, you've been able to bless us with the great talent and music that you have sang over the years and decades of providing great entertainment to all of us here, the public, not only in Canada, but in the United States and worldwide. Like you said, you've been touring all over the world. And what is it for Tony Orlando to keep on going as strong as he is and still plowing through it and being as great as he is?
Well, the greatest experience for a performer is the act of giving, Joe. When you get on stage and you give whatever God's blessed you with and whatever's, you know, you have to offer an audience, and you see an audience that's been thrilled by it or they've enjoyed it, there's no greater gift for me than to see the joy in their faces or the joy in their applause. Not for ego, but because I gave them a moment in time that pleased them. And it really is not an act of getting when you're a performer. It's an act of giving. So I'm sure if you think about it, Joe, your day when you get up and you give, do you have children?
I don't, no.
Okay, you have good friends and family?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, on Christmas Day or on their birthday or some holiday and you give a gift, what's the gift for you? When you give the gift and you see their expression of enjoyment and they get all excited, isn't that your gift?
Absolutely.
Watching them
Absolutely.
Receive your gift?
Absolutely.
Well, it's the same thing when you're an entertainer. You can't give that joy up to watch people have a great time and forget their problems. And maybe you were the spark plug for that in their day or in their life. No. Giving up this job would be idiotic, because the one person that walks away with the gift is me.
And Tony Orlando, we are willing, with open arms and ears, accepting your gift that you come to Niagara Falls on July the 7th and 8th at the Fallsview Casino in the Avalon Ballroom. And we thank you very much for returning back year in year.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward very, very much to going back home to that wonderful room. I love working in there. Hope to see you there, Joe.
I really hope to see you, too. And we're going to be back right after this, so don't go anywhere.
100 yellow ribbons around the old tree.
This is Tony Orlando, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Oh, my darling, knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Been daydreaming helps to pass the time. Got to thinking about this girl that could be mine. She's got everything that I don't think she even knows. All the while inside my love for her still grows. I want everything. She's got everything. She could be Bordeaux or Monroe, Sophia.
Welcome back to The Joe Show, and joining us right now is a man who has done it all. He's been in Broadway. He sings with his family and his sister in Las Vegas, and they have a hit running show that keeps on going on strong in Las Vegas all this year. He's coming to Casinorama in just a few days. He's going to be in Richmond in December. He's hosted a game show. He's written a book. He's hosted a talk show. And now he's also in design with his wife. It's the one and only fantastic Mr. Donny Osmond. Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, you know, if I'm ever having a bad day, I'm going to call you. That just was a fantastic intro. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. And I want to thank you for the many years of great entertainment you've given us.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you can call anytime, and I'll even leave it as a voicemail for you. That will work. And I want to congratulate you. I know last year was your 60th album, but I want to go all the way back a long, long time ago where you actually posted this on your Facebook, and I got this, that it was like 44 years ago this month that the Osmonds live album almost never actually happened.
Yes, that's actually true. In fact, I just put that on my Facebook as well and tweeted it out because we woke up that day and we all had the flu. And we had two sellout shows at the Forum in Los Angeles. And we thought, do we cancel this? We can't cancel this. We're recording this. This is going to be an album. It's going to be a terrible album. It's one of our biggest albums. So I think we should get the flu more often.
Well, it is a fantastic album because it has some of your hits like One Bad Apple and Sweet and Innocent. And you guys, of course, have gone, well, mainly it's like you and Marie, mainly. The other brothers really never continued on as much, or we see more of you and Marie. And why was that?
Well, you know, they do still continue to do some shows here and there around the world. Branson, they do some shows in Branson, things like that. So they're still out there popping away. But this show in Vegas, Marie and I decided, all right, let's take a shot at Las Vegas. And this was like 8 years ago, and they gave us a 6-week contract. I remember thinking, how are we going to fill seats for 6 weeks? And looks like we're even going to do another year, so this could be a total of 9 years.
Wow. And, I mean, you're packed all summer long in Las Vegas, and also that being packed in Las Vegas, and Marie's coming up with you here at Casino Rama and also in Richmond. So for people here that can't get down to Vegas, is it basically the same show that you're bringing up here to Canada?
We're bringing some of the elements of Las Vegas because not everybody can go to Las Vegas. So we bring a little Las Vegas to them. And so we're bringing the dancers, the multimedia, the special effects, all the kind of stuff that that we have in Las Vegas. So yes, we are definitely bringing a little bit of Vegas out there to Obama.
Beautiful. And Donny Osmond here with us. You can still get tickets at Casino Rama and on through Ticketmaster. Also, the tickets are on sale for Richmond. And if you're going to Vegas, you got to go down and see also the full production in Vegas too with Donny and Marie. Voted number one in 3 years in a row, this stage show. And it's fantastic. And you don't want to miss it. And I want to say that, first of all, congratulations on the 60th album last year that you've created. But do you find it hard nowadays with, well, a lot of stuff is online. And I know your music is also available online through Amazon and iTunes that people can download it and buy it. But do you find that the album sales are not as big as they used to be as it, say, back when you did the Osmonds Live album back 44 years ago?
No, it's a different world for everyone. The dynamics have changed in music and also television because of the fragmentation and the amount of outlets that are available for media in general. So there's a lot of pinpointing in advertising. There's you've got to reach core audiences. But that's why we love Vegas because, I mean, just even last night, this is so funny. There were these four ladies that walked into the meet and greet after the show, because after every show we do a little meet and greet. And it was the grandma, the mom, her daughter, and her daughter. Oh. And they all knew me for different things. And this little girl, I think she's like 3 or 4 years old, her mom turned to me and said, "My daughter absolutely loves you." I said, "She's 4 years old. How does she know who Donny Osmond is?" And she said, "She just loves your song Anaconda." And I said, "I never recorded a song called Anaconda." She says, "Oh, yes, sweetheart, sing the song for Donny." And she starts, "Anaconda, puppy love." And then the night before that, I had a bunch of little teenagers with their family come to the show, and they were at the meet and greet. And I turned to them and said, "Do you have any idea who I am?" And they said, "No."
Oh,
no, but we love your show. I said, "No, I think you know who I am." And I said, "You have to watch that Disney movie Mulan." And they said, "Oh, that's our favorite Disney movie." I said, "You know the Captain Shang character in that movie? He sings that song, 'Let's get down to biz.'" And their eyes got really big, and they said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's me. I'm Captain Shang."
That's awesome. And I mean, it's all over, whether and like from a four-year-old, and I'm surprised she even knew Puppy Love. And but then Disney's, but you are the man of all trades. Whether on the first time I seen you was back on a school trip. This is going years ago. I don't know if you remember you doing Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat in Toronto.
Right.
And that's when I
first saw that. That was back in the 90s. I can't believe it's been that long now.
Yeah.
Since I launched that show in Toronto. It was first at the Elgin Theater. Then we went to the Hummingbird. Well, it was called the Hummingbird back then. But, I did that show for 6 years, 2,000 performances, and Andrew Lloyd Webber decided, "I want Donny Osmond to be the Joseph in the movie, in the video." And so it's one of the greatest things I did, because it just keeps bringing in new generations of people that discover who Donny Osmond is.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'll never forget this, because A, you were in it, and B, I was in grade 5. And my mother came with me, and she brought her binoculars with her because she was so excited to see her teen idol topless. And she had the binoculars to see Donny Osmond on the stage. And I'm like, "Mom, you're embarrassing me." I was 10 years old. So it's a...
I got a funny story about that loincloth. For all 2,000 shows, it never came off, because there was only like 4 little snaps that kept that thing on me. And it finally came off accidentally on one show, and that was in Salt Lake City of all cities. And my neighbors are out there. It was just so embarrassing, but
that's awesome. Now, I know you're busy with doing the Las Vegas, the flamenco with your sister Marie. Is there any talks of maybe doing Broadway shows again?
Absolutely. There's actually a couple offers right now, and it's really a catch-22 for me, because they want us to continue here in Vegas, but, you know, you're kind of locked down for a long period of time. If you do Broadway, you've got to commit to 3 to 6 months, and I just don't have that kind of time. So it's really a catch-22.
Well, maybe we'll have to keep on going on your website, and we'll see. Maybe something might happen and figure it out. But if not, you got to go down to Las Vegas and see Donny and Marie at the Flamingo, or here in Canada at Casino Rama this coming May 19th and 20th, and also in Richmond in December. I don't know what you're thinking about coming to Canada and Ontario in the winter time, but that's a whole other story.
I know. I must be out of my mind, but no, I absolutely love – if I didn't live in Utah, I'd probably pick Canada, because I just love it up there. I'm part of Canadian in a way, because when I started Joseph, I lived up in Mount Pleasant, right there. You know where Mount Pleasant is?
Yeah, yeah.
In Toronto, that's where I lived, and I just absolutely love that area, and the people are amazing. So really, Toronto is kind of like my second home in a way.
Yeah, Canadian at heart.
Canadian at heart. I mean, I go back to the CNE. Back to the early 70s, and it was just like bedlam back then during the Puppy Love days and One Bad Apple days. So Canada really holds a soft spot in my heart.
And you also were a DJ on 97.3 in Toronto for some time, too.
I was, absolutely. Remember that, too. I did that for about 2 or 3 years, and then I started this album, the 60th album. It was all-encompassing, and I said, something's got to give. So I had to... unfortunately, stop. I was having so much fun doing that radio show, but there's only so many hours in the day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, I don't know how you're able to do everything that you do, from being on stage and performing, and you hosted a TV show, hosted a game show, won the Dancing with the Stars in season 9. You were the champion there. That must have been grueling and crazy hours there too, doing that.
I tell you, the other day here in Vegas, Jerry Rice, one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play NFL, was here in Vegas, and I ran into him, and we started talking. He was on season 2, and I said, what was that experience like for you? And he said, Donnie, I got to tell you something. Doing Dancing with the Stars was harder than the NFL. So that gives you a little indication, a little insight as to what I went through. Now, keep in mind, Joe, I was doing Las Vegas the same time I was doing Dancing with the Stars.
Gosh.
I would perform nightly in Vegas and rehearse all day for Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, how did you do it?
I don't know how I won it, but I did. And it was exciting. One of the most exciting accolades of my life, but I sure paid the price for it.
For any upcoming celebrities, because we have a lot of different celebrities that come on the Joe Show in our ninth season, it'll be our 10th season in the fall time. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would give to celebrities? Like, I know, I forget his name. You just said the football player said it's worse than the NFL.
Jerry Rice. Yeah.
Jerry Rice. What would you say to the celebrities that would have done it?
That want to do Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of the greatest experiences of your life. Even if you don't win, which I don't know what it feels like. Ask Marie. Marie knows what that feels like. She got kicked off. But it is the most amazing experience. You'll never work harder in your life, but you'll never enjoy it more in your life. You really do become a family because everybody's working so hard for that Mirrorball trophy. And believe me, I talk about it on stage and rub it in Marie's face as much as I can.
Well, and that brings a good comment because, I mean, you've worked with your sister. You've worked with the family since the 70s and all the way through, but you're more so working with your sister. You've done the talk show with her in Vegas and touring around with her. How do you keep the sibling rivalry down to a minimum if possible?
You don't. I mean, that's kind of like the whole thing of Donnie and Marie. The whole image is that sibling rivalry. In fact, last night, we were just at each other's throats, and it was so funny on stage. Marie was throwing out one-liners. I was dishing them right back. The audience was having the time of their life. That's the element of our show that is so unique. And yes, you get the dancing. Yes, you get the singing. You get the hits. And you get all that stuff. But then there's a segment where we just sit down on the stools and sing the songs, and what comes out of our mouths as far as dialogue, you know, we do have a template that we go with, but we improv a lot of it. And it's funny.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to seeing you guys come up here at Casino Rama on May 19th, 20th. And again, Ticketmaster is where you can get the tickets, or through Casino Rama, or also they're in Richmond in December. And of course, throughout the year in Vegas doing nightly shows there at the Flamingo. It's a definite show that you need to go see if you're going to go to Vegas, because it's fantastic. Donnie and Marie. Now, I have some questions here from our listeners. I posted on our social media saying we're going to be interviewing you, and was wondering if we can get some of those questions answered. We picked about three or four, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. And this was actually, I wanted to talk about this, and we're going to get this question here from Julie. I know I just did a little research on you and found out that your design furniture and your products have done very well, surplused again, just recently over the past couple days. And congratulations on that, first of all. But
Well, thank you very much. What's interesting about that, Joe, is my wife and I, about 6 years ago, had this little idea. Let's start a little brand called Donnie Osmond Home. And we thought it's just kind of a nice little hobby, something small. But it's something that we can do for the rest of our lives together. So she's now my business partner, not just my wife. And this thing has taken off like crazy.
That's awesome.
We did a big launch here last weekend here in Las Vegas, and it's just flying out the door. And what we've done is we want to make sure that the quality is as high as it can get, but the prices are as low as we can get that affordability sweet spot, if you will. And we found it. We have manufacturing partners that really keep the prices down and the quality so high. In fact, what's so funny, the band, the dancers, the crew here in Las Vegas, they all want, you know, pieces from the Donnie Osmond Home line. So I'm buying it for them. I'm going to go broke just buying my own furniture for my employees.
I hope you get some kickback or whatever else if you get to buy your own
stuff. I wish. But the best way to look at and all that stuff is right now is on DonnieOsmond.com. I think it's on Wayfair.com, and I think in a little while it'll be on Target.com. But it's in showrooms, starting to get in showrooms all over all over the country now.
Nice. Now, do you and Debbie, this is what Julie asked, do you and Debbie design the products yourself?
Yes, we do. We have a team of people, and obviously, you know, these manufacturing partners that we've teamed up with, they know what they're doing, but my wife and I pretty much put together these, what's called the inspiration board for them to follow. And so and they come up with ideas, they submit it to us, we narrow it down even further, and they make the pieces, we take it to market, see what the public likes, and then we produce them in mass.
Perfect. And Tina here asks, and we're talking about your 60th album that was just released, and I don't know how she knew this, but she said that, and I don't know if this is true or not, that you wanted to put on Billy Joel's Just the Way You Are on your 60th album, but it didn't happen. So is that going to happen on your 61st album?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what the 61st album is going to entail, but I was doing an interview the other day, and the guy said, Donnie, I did the research. And there's only two other artists, apparently, that have beat you in the amount of albums. That is Frank Zappa and Elvis Presley. So I've got to do at least 65 to beat Elvis Presley. So the next, I'm kind of conceptually working on the next one. I don't know if it's going to be like this 60th. I may want to just write this next one and just come up with original songs.
What was the process or collaboration of the songs that you picked for your 60th? I mean, that's a big one, and that's one that's always going to be really remembered. Usually that's a milestone. What was the process of that, of picking the music?
Well, for a long time leading up to the 60th, because I knew I was going to get to it, I wanted to do something special. Like you said, milestone is the perfect way to describe it. I came up with an album of songs that influenced me throughout my life, and the criteria to narrow down to the songs on the album, because I started with a list, Joe, that was at least 300 songs, and Billy Joel's Just the Way You Are was definitely on that. But I narrowed it down to these songs on the album. But the criteria was it's got to have a compelling story. And so, for instance, My Cherie Amour was the first 45 I ever bought. And while I was cutting the track and putting the vocal on, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have Stevie Wonder himself play the harmonica on this track? So, you know, I called him up. And I asked him, you know, I was quite bold, and he said, well, send me the track. So I sent him an MP3 because, you know, he wasn't going to commit to just anything.
Right.
And a few minutes later, I get a call on my phone at Stevie and saying, I love this song. I love your version. I got to be part of this project. Send me the masters right away. Now, you can only imagine my
wow.
musical hero calling me back and saying, you know, I want to be part of your project. That was just like icing on the cake for me. So that's the story behind that. The Long and Winding Road by Paul McCartney or the Beatles. The story there is back in 72, I think it was, I was in France, and there's a knock on my hotel room door, and I open it up. It's Paul McCartney standing there at the door with his daughter Mary. And his Liverpoolian accent, and he turns to me and says, can you get your autograph, please, for my daughter? And he hands me a picture of me. And I sign to Mary, love Donny Osmond, and I gave it back to Paul. He says, thank you very much. And the door closes. And I'm thinking, what just happened? So 15 years later, I'm in London at a video studio editing a music video. And Paul happens to be in the adjacent studio. And I said, I got to seize this moment and verify the story. Maybe I dreamt it or something, you know? And I walk in there. And I said, Paul, he said, hey, Donnie, how are you? And I said, I got to verify the story. And I told him the story. I said, Paul, did that happen? He said, Donnie, not only did it happen, but your autograph is one of the very few autographs I've ever asked for in my entire life.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to put The Long and Winding Road, which is one of my favorite Beatles songs, on it. So every song has got such a compelling story to it. That's why this 60th album, like you said, is a milestone. It had to be special. But this is more special to me than anybody else.
Wow, huge milestone there. And that's just wonderful. Now, do you share these stories when you are on stage? I mean, these are stories of songs that you have on the album, but I mean, the stories we somewhat don't know except for the couple that you told us here, right? So, I mean, do you share that on stage?
I actually put them in the liner notes of the CD.
Oh, do you? Okay.
So, yes, all of those stories are in there. Nothing compares to you, the late Prince, when I first met
yes.
him. I cut that version. That's on the deluxe version. It's not on the regular version, so it might be hard to find that song. But yeah, most definitely, it's all the stories are there right there on the CD. In fact, you know, wait a minute, hold on. On my website, All the stories are on my website. I narrate the stories.
Oh,
if you go to my discography, there's the way to find it right there.
There you go. And you can go to Donnie.com, also DonnieOsmond.com for Donnie Home line of design right there, too, with Donnie and Debbie. And I also, you made a mention about, I know Elvis Presley has 65 albums. In growing up with the music of the Osmond family, was Elvis an influence in the family of yours? Or, I mean, who influenced you in music?
Well, most definitely, Elvis was a huge influence, probably more on the live stage than anything, because I knew him pretty well. In fact, it's a funny story. He loved calling my mom. My mother was his surrogate mother.
Really?
So to speak. Oh, I'm serious. He'd call her all the time and just talk about life in general and religion and just everything. And so one day the phone rings. And my brother Jay answers the phone. And there's the voice on the other end said, is your mother there? And he said, yeah, who's calling? He says, this is Elvis. And he didn't put two and two together. So he yells out, hey, Mom, some guy named Elvis is on the phone for you.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, he was... He's an amazing guy, amazing performer, and just a real humble man.
Oh, wow, that's funny. I know you have five sons of your own. Are they in the music business as well, like yourself?
No, they decided to get real jobs. No, they're very musically inclined, but they've decided that they'd rather not be in this world of show business. You become a huge target for criticism and critiques, and you have to have really tough skin. I absolutely love it. I love creating music. I love creating live shows and things like that. But it does come with a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
And they decided to do other things. Advertising. One of my boys is in the medical industry, and my youngest son is just a chick magnet right now. And
that's all right.
All the girls are after him.
Well, I mean, look, you were the teen idol back in the days, and he's living it up probably now himself like that. So
he is. He's just graduating here in a couple of days.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations to him. And another question here. We have one last question from our listener here from Carla. She asked about the purple socks. How do the purple socks get attached to Donnie Osmond?
I think it's a perfect case of OCD, don't you?
Very much so. I would have to agree.
Actually, you know, it's funny because I've tried to analyze, why did I do this? It was a joke present back in the 70s that my mom and Marie gave me one time for Christmas. But it was quite practical because in a family of nine children, eight boys, you go into the laundry room and trying to find socks, all you have to do is find something purple, and there you got it.
Well, I have to say, because we're on radio, I can't show it through video on TV, that Carla took a picture of herself. She's in a purple cast because she had foot surgery, and she got purple because of Donnie, purple socks, and she loves the color purple because of Donnie. So you've influenced her in her life of that.
That's funny. Yeah, well, after I got married, you know, I kept wearing them. My wife finally turned to me one day and she said, honey, grow up.
Well, you know what? You've been doing great not growing up.
The other day, this is unbelievable, Joe. The other day, my little grandson walks in to my house and he's 5 years old and he's got purple socks on.
Oh.
And I turned to my son and his wife, I said, why is he wearing purple socks? And I thought, you know, they put him on him for a joke or something like that. And they said, you're not going to believe this, but he just likes purple socks. Maybe it's in my DNA. I have no idea. But he said, he loves purple socks and loves to wear them every day.
That is fantastic. So there's the purple's in the blood.
It's in the blood.
Well, we wish you all the best. And, of course, we wish you safe travels when you come up here to Canada, and all the best in Vegas. And I know that if we can't see you here in Canada, we make a trip down to Vegas. We'll see you and Marie every night at the Flamingo. And we thank you very much for coming up here, even back in the cold dead of winter in December, okay, back in Richmond. But all the best. And thank you very much for being on the Joe Show.
Thank you, Joe. It's good to talk to you.
All right, and don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show.
And they called it puppy love.
Hi, this is Bunny Osmond, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Pete Johansson, and you're listening to The Joe Show, along with me.
Welcome back to The Joe Show, our Season 9 finale, and joining us right now, I'm very excited because not only do we have Canadian talent that we're featuring on The Joe Show, he is a very funny man, and he has just had his comedy special released on Netflix last week worldwide. It's called You Might Also Enjoy Pete Johansson. And so you can check him out there on Netflix. And Pete is with us now. Hello, Pete. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you.
Oh, glad to be. Go ahead.
I can't believe I'm on the same show with the Osmonds. I'm sorry. I just have to cut you off and say that now.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Donnie Osmond, we just had before you on, and Tony Orlando. And I guess you're a fan of Donnie Osmond.
I am. I'm a huge fan of the Osmonds, the greatest American family, in my opinion. I can't think of a one that ever surpassed them. Icons of the industry. And I never heard a bad thing about them. You know, isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, and always stayed out of the limelight kind of deal of the paparazzi and all that stuff. So absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Where's our modern day Osmonds? I think everybody's wondering that. Everybody's thinking, it's like, oh, you look at it and you see the Kardashians on every channel. It's like, what the hell? What's this? This is the best we can do? Look back to the 70s. Look at the concentrated talent. And the Osmonds, or the Jacksons, like families of talent. And then the Kardashians pop up with zero discernible skills all over our TV, every channel.
Well, you have 100% skill and talent because...
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, because you've been doing comedy for about 25 years. And
I know. I don't look it, though. I look very young.
Yeah, I was going to say, you look very young. You must have been, like, coming out of your mother's womb and doing comedy when you came right out, basically.
Well, you know, socialized medicine, we have to pay for it somehow in Canada. No, I started when I was young. I was 16 when I first started stand-up. So I am in my 40s, but I don't drink or smoke. So I guess kind of like the Osmonds, I'm going to look young forever, right?
There you go. Beautiful. The fountain of youth. You found it, and you're going to last forever. Now, starting so young with comedy at 16, I mean, are you an only child, or are you amongst many other siblings, or...
I'm the youngest of five, actually.
Wow.
I was a 10-year afterthought. My mom mistook a Tic Tac for a birth control pill, and I was not a pleasant surprise as my parents approached retirement.
So no wonder you got into comedy, because you were probably fighting and vying for attention then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My parents. I wrecked all their plans. I destroyed their entire plans for relaxing.
What were they supportive, or what did they say when you got into comedy? I mean, that's a hard gig to get into.
Oh no, they were not supportive. No. None of the. I don't have new parents like everybody else has. My parents are full 50s, 40s mentality parents. They look upon this as the worst choice I could have made. I was supposed to be a doctor or a priest.
Oh,
those were the two things they had expected of me. This is the fact I turned into a joker. Oh, there's no pride there.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're still living with us. Do they have pride now? I mean, you're on Netflix.
Well, sadly, without making this a sad call, they both recently passed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But no, it's okay. It was, you know, they're very old. And ultimately, they did. My mom started bragging about me in the last couple of years. She was like, she dropped little hints how she was proud of me to her friends. And I heard it. So it's all good.
Nice. Speaking with Pete Johansson, and born out in Vancouver, and has...
Oh, no, actually, I'm born in the United States.
Oh, you're born in the United States. Okay, you're born in Maryland.
I was born in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, Washington, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm what's called a border baby. there's about 50,000 of us in Canada. We're the closest, like when my parents got pregnant, they were so close to the American border, the closest hospital was across the other side.
Oh.
And I was born in the U.S. So by a freak accident, I am actually a dual citizen of both U.S. and Canada, although I spent my entire life in Canada.
Yeah, well, but you also have lived out in U.K., and you've lived in Los Angeles. Like, I mean, you lived all over the world, basically.
Yeah, I've spent about a third of my life in three countries, a third in the U.S., a third in Canada, and a third in the United Kingdom. It's been it gives me a nice perspective, actually. I quite like it, and I spent a ton of time in Holland, too. So, you know, but that's for other reasons.
Well, that's where you shot the in Amsterdam, the comedy special. That's why, right?
Well, I'm not going to come right out and say that. I've spent a lot of time in Holland. I enjoyed doing comedy over there. A lot of people over in North America don't realize how popular comedy is over there, especially English comedy. They adore it. They're especially stand-up. And they have an environment of tolerance. So they love being challenged with controversial and challenging ideas, and they react well to it. If they disagree, they disagree, but they don't shut you down. So it's a great environment for challenging ideas.
Nice. And so this was a great place where you filmed then this comedy special last year. You might also enjoy Pete Johansson. And did you know, what was the ideology, I guess you can say, of after filming this, where was this going to go? I know you've done Just for Laughs and CBC and stuff like that. Was it going to go on TV, or how was that going to work out?
Well, I signed a deal with a production company called PS Entertainment that does a lot of Comedy Central specials and various things. And originally we were going to, you know, look at it for DVDs and things like that. But Netflix, the first people we approached was Netflix, and they kind of went head over heels for it. And they were like, well, you know what? We'll take it for worldwide. Because they just expanded into most countries on the planet. And they thought this would fit well, since I'm a global comedian. I do most of my work all around the world, Australia, Southeast Asia. You know, like in the last 6 weeks, I was in Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Canada, UK, Dubai, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi.
Oh
and Los Angeles.
Oh,
sorry.
My God, but, Pete.
Yeah. So I have a sort of a well-rounded sort of universal sort of voice with my stand-up, where I talk about sort of genuine human issues without being too geo-specific. So it seems to appeal to people. Either that, or they just like looking at my good-looking face. I don't know. I don't know what it is specifically, but I seem to do well everywhere.
This is wonderful. And I mean, how does it for you to feel like, I mean, to be on Netflix, and of course now you see your name on the screen on TV, and it can be anywhere accessed around the world.
It's pretty exciting. I got to be honest with you. I've been getting, since it came on yesterday, I've been getting messages from all over the planet. I've gotten emails from Australia. I got a bunch from Australia and people in all over the States and stuff like that. It's really nice to experience. I also, you know, it's just good. I like to be out there. I've been on TV before, and I just taped a show with Ari Shaffir for Comedy Central called This Isn't Happening, that's coming out this fall as well. So, kind of, I'm enjoying this modicum of exposure, I guess, and being on your show, man. Don't count yourself out.
Hey,
you're the trifecta.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we have about 3 million listeners weekly to the Joe Show, and to be on the season finale, it's going to be more because, of course, everyone loves Donny Osmond like yourself, and so yeah.
I'm blown away. Is his sister around still? She was always there, something special too.
Yeah, Marie.
Marie,
yeah, but she couldn't.
I'm a little bit country,
show.
And she's a little bit rock and roll. That's the song, right?
That is her song. Yes.
Oh, man, that was like the best. You know, now it'd be like I'm a little bit rap and I'm a little bit bad at music.
Pete Johansson, his Netflix special is online now worldwide, I must say, as well. You might also enjoy Pete Johansson, and talking everywhere from the bees to the bears to about sex and marriage. And I watched it last night. It's hilarious. And I have to ask, because I always wonder when they get pets involved, is it a paid pet? Is that cat or a kitten that you're holding, God knows where, somewhere like in the snow or wherever else?
But is that the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, in the Rocky Mountains. Okay, is that a paid cat or a stray cat?
That's my cat. I flew with that cat. Oh. That picture is taken after a 12.5-hour plane flight from London to Vancouver, and then a 4-hour drive into the middle of British Columbia because I was going skiing. And I brought my cat with me to Canada.
Oh, that poor cat for that long duration of traveling, though.
Oh, she was amazing. And she's right next to me right now.
Oh,
she's,
nice.
My cat, I have a British cat in Canada. None of the cats even recognize her. They don't understand anything she says in my neighborhood here.
Beautiful.
I'm so glad you mentioned my cat. I don't know why that's a strange compliment to have other people like your cat. But I'm like, thank you. Like, that's better than anything else. Had you said my wife was attractive, I would have gone, meh, but you like my cat? That's fantastic.
Well, I never saw a picture of your wife. I just saw a picture of your cat. So.
I'll check your inbox.
All right.
Some inappropriateness.
All right. So I think Howard Stern we're turning into now. But anyways, Pete Johansson, you can find him on Netflix. You might also enjoy Pete Johansson. We hope to see many more specials, hopefully in the near future on Netflix or anything else that you have going on, but thank you
for having me, and please say hi to Donny Osmond for me, please.
Definitely will. And I'll tell him that you're big
fan. My childhood, that guy. Made my childhood. The electric Technicolor Dreamcoat. He was fantastic in it. All right.
No, that's all right. I know you're all giddy. I'm giddy too. It's all good. So Pete, we wish you all the best, and Pete, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
I want to thank you very much for listening to The Joe Show, and thank you to Tony, Donnie, and Pete. You can hear Best of the Best here on Ohm Times Season 9 every Wednesday night. Our list is on our Joe Show page on Facebook. Just go to joecrawfordlive.com for more details. Have a great summer. Remember, don't be ordinary, be extraordinary.